We're back in our lesson, John 14, and we're in the third week of a series. His series is Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, John 14. A little bit of review. Jesus had told him a bunch of bad news. I'm leaving you. You're going to betray me. I'm going to be betrayed in the hand of sinners. Everything's bad. Excuse me. But let not your heart be troubled. Last week, we got into a couple things about truth. And we said two words. Truth is something something. Truth is blank sensitive with the Lord. And we remember? Easy to remember? Yes, Esther. Time sensitive. He kept saying, don't you remember how I told you this? And afterward, they kept seeing it. They remembered the words of the Lord. And he'll say, you remember these things afterward. You'll understand when it's time for you to understand. One of the foolish things people do is when understanding doctrine, they tell, I'm going to study this till I understand it. It might not be time for you to understand it. You got to let the Holy Spirit be the teacher. You got to wait on God. Sure, you study the scriptures and look, but you'll find if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're willing to understand whatever he teaches you, when you try to understand doctrine, you'll find many times, no matter how much you study, you will not understand it because it's not your time to understand it. And then one day the Holy Spirit will quicken you and you'll go, oh, why didn't I see it before? It wasn't your time. I've had doctrines that took me 2 years and I didn't force myself. I just have to understand it. I said, all right, I've memorized all the verses. I've studied it all. It's not clear to me. I don't understand it. And then one day, just boom, God said, here's what it is. And that's where we are. And then we said through a bunch of these verses, there is one thing that's the answer to all the problems. What was that answer? Tiffany. Jesus was the answer. Very good. All right, I'm glad my daughters were here last week. I think it was just me and them. And it brings back flashbacks when I started the church. And very good. What book of the Bible did we teach out of last Thursday? Mark. John. Very good. All right. Good. I feel like I'm asking a kid after Sunday school, what did you learn about in church? God. And so, good. And we said, if you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father also. And verse 8, let's get a little context here. Philip saith, and so Jesus says, hey, I'm going to the Father. I'm preparing a house for you. I'm preparing a place in heaven, a mansions. I'm going to the Father. Don't worry about it. I'm leaving, but don't let your heart be troubled. And Thomas said, Lord, just show us the Father and we'll be fine. And it sufficeth us. There's a context in verse 8. Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word now. Thank you for everybody who's come tonight, the good crowd of folks, the wonderful words of eternal life, the words of Jesus. Oh, what an important chapter, Father. And I pray you'd help us to let not our hearts be troubled and understand why tonight. Please empower and speak with the power of the Holy Spirit in this service. May it not be me, but you speaking through me. We pray for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. one of the things Philip says to him here is he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to my Father's house. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And Philip says a thing that people kind of say. He says, "Lord, we won't be troubled. Just show us a Father, and that'll be sufficient." That's a small request. Just show me God, and I'll be fine. And that's what he says. And that's what a lot of people want. If they can see God, they'll be fine. Problem with that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, yes, if you saw God tonight, you'd become a very good Christian tomorrow. Okay? But you'd have no faith. And you wouldn't be able to please God with it. So God does not show you. And so many times God steps back and says, "Believe me, I'm going to take care of this thing, but I'm not going to show you the way." And we'd say, "God, if you just show me the way, I trust you." Well, that's nice. It's like when somebody says, "You know, if God would just give me the money, I could just trust him and I could tithe." But that's no faith. There's no faith involved there. There's no trusting God. And if soon as I have the clarity, and soon as I know, and soon as I see the way worked out, I'll trust you, God. You never get that. Those people never obey God. And by the way, who are we to go to God and say, "You show me yourself and I believe in you"? What an arrogant human thing. He says, "I'm going to come to you on my terms. I'm going to tell you, God, what to do, so I'll believe in you." He's God, you're a man. And so he says, "Just show us the Father and we'll be fine. We won't worry. We won't let our hearts be troubled." And he says, no. He says, "You've seen me. That's all you need. He that has seen me has seen the Father also." And he says that, verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelt in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." He says, why are you worried about seeing the Father? You've seen me, and we're one. You know about me. I'm saying, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Do not allow, let not your heart be troubled. And so that's where I wanted to, that's where we're joining this up. So Jesus talks about a few things here. First thing I want to talk about tonight is if you believe. That big word, if. If you believe, he says. A whole bunch of things are going to happen to those who believe. The promises here are kind of amazing. Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." He wants you to believe him. Now, understand, one of the things in the Bible you have to grasp to understand the Bible, even salvation, is that the word for believe in the Greek is a little different than our word for believe. That's why the Bible has to say in James, the devils believe and tremble. Because the word believe to us means you think something exists. And so, but the word in the Greek is pistuo. It means it's way more, it's stronger. It's I depend upon, I trust in, I put my faith in. In other words, so I say, "Get in the car with me and I'll get you there safely." And you say, "I believe that you can drive and I believe that's a car, but I'm not going to get in with you." Do you understand how you believe that I can drive, you believe that's a car, but you don't trust me? There's a big difference there. That's why a lot of people know Jesus died on the cross. They believe that he's the Son of God, but they don't trust him. So they don't get saved. Because they don't want to let God save them. They want to do their own works because there's no faith. And he says, "Believe me. Everything's going to be fine. Believe me." Then he says, "If you believe me, great things happen." Verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father." First of all, he says, all great things happen if you believe. This verse, the truth is, this is a verse, I'm not there yet. I look at this verse and I see what it says, but I'm not there yet. I can't comprehend it. Because it says, if you believe in me, if you really depend upon me, you really trust in me, you really believe in me, the works that I do, you're going to do also. And greater works than these shall you do. because I go to my Father. Now, Jesus did some pretty good works. If I could just tie what he did on earth, I don't need to do greater works than him. If I could just do the works that he did, I'd say I did all right. Raising a few dead, healing a few blind, healing a few lepers. I went into a leper colony in the Philippines and I didn't heal any of them. But he said, if you'll believe on me, greater works than these than shall you do. But, you know, in one sense, if you watch this fulfilled, you watch the apostles who believed on him, they had more people saved than Jesus. They had amazing miracles. They were just bringing people to their shadow, and they were healed. It's pretty amazing what God did with those people who really believed in and believed what Jesus could do. He that believeth, didn't say if you believe, not the apostles, is he that believeth on me. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. He says, you got to believe that I can do these works. Let me take it a few other verses. Mark chapter 9. See, I believe that you can do greater works because God works through faith, and you got to believe God can do it. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Once his son healed, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. This man's a little bit like us. And straightway the father of the child cried out with tears and said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. A little weak in the faith, wasn't he? But he says, help, but he acknowledged it and said, help my unbelief. And Jesus says, that'll do. I'll heal your son. He says, to him that believeth, all things are possible. What does all things mean? Either it's true or it's not, folks. That's what it says. But it's contingent on you believing. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and believe in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you ask. If you believe. Look at Matthew, verse chapter 13. I think God does not do many works because there's not many people who believe God can do many works anymore. And so they don't step out in faith, and God works through faith, according to your faith, be it unto you. In Matthew 13 and verse 58, speaking of Jesus here, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What it says there. Not because he couldn't do mighty works. He was going everywhere doing mighty works. Then he went to a town and they said, you can't do that. You can't do that. That can't happen. That won't happen. And Jesus could do no mighty works there. Why? Because he locked himself into working through faith. As it says in Psalm 78, I think 78:41, it says, you have limited the Holy One of Israel. And you know what? It's time God's people believe he's a big God again. Is my arm shortened that I cannot save? Can't I bring revival? Can't I save your family member? Can I do mighty works? We limit him because of our lack of faith. Why don't you go pray believing? Amen. Why don't you go and try to do something big for God, believing God could still do it? Why don't you obey, believing God can, no matter how miserable it looks, if you obey, no matter how tough the road looks, that God is able. And John chapter 14, verse 12 is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. And first of all, he says, if you believe, you'll have greater works. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto the Father. Why? Is it because they're greater than Jesus? No, it's because Jesus is helping them. And we'll get to that in a little while. Secondly, you'll get answered prayers if you believe. And, continuing on, if you believe on me, verse 12, verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So if you believe, you get answered prayers. Here's what I find. People like the Apostle Paul, to people like Tom Williams that I know that we know today. These people, if one of two things happens in their prayer life, And you can read about the great men of prayer like Mueller or others in history. When they really are praying and really believing, either they just get the answers everywhere, which is the most common thing, God just answers. Or two, they are very content because God very clearly tells them no. And they're not afraid to pray because of that. Sometimes God says, wait, it's not time, but he speaks very clearly. See, because God, to somebody who's really praying, he wants to reward them. And so those who really pray find that God answers oftentimes, and most often he answers the prayer. Sometimes he says, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. I've got to do this for a reason. Or he might say, wait a little while, but he always answers. To those who really pray. The problem is the lack of prayer, and most often you have not because you ask not. You also have it not answered prayers because you ask amiss. You may consume it upon your own lust. And you also have problems because you don't believe that God can do it. But most often the problem is you have not because you ask not. Most people don't pray. But you get answered prayers if you believe and you pray. If you believe, it says, don't let your heart be troubled. Why? Because I'm going to answer your prayers. If you believe, you're going to do great works. Don't worry, I can still give you great power even though I'm leaving. So let not your heart be troubled. If you believe, great things will happen. Number two, and again, we had a lot of other reasons for not letting their hearts be troubled from verse one on. But if you believe, great things are going to happen. Number two, Jesus is going to the Father to work for us. Jesus is going to the Father for work for us. We see this in a lot of verses. Verse 1, or verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus, when he went to heaven, got busy. First thing, he started constructing mansions and got busy doing that. We see he does a bunch of different things, and he's going to be doing a bunch of different things. But he says he's going to go and become a mediator for us. He's going to become a mediator for us. And so he's going to go, look at the end of verse 12, because I go to the Father, you're going to do great works. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Who's going to answer the prayer? Let's read it carefully there. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And now watch verse 16, explanation. And I will pray the Father. Jesus is the mediator, the Bible says. in 2 Timothy, it says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator. The word mediator in the Bible is an important word. And Jesus is that mediator between us and God. A mediator is a go-between. He's a go-between. It's usually used in a legal term like a lawyer who goes there. And so, let me illustrate this here. Let's have Matthew and Ron come on up here. So, Ron's over here, and Ron's got a whole bunch of authority and a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of things there. And Matthew needs something from him. But Matthew is just a mess up, and he's just... He's a goofball. He messes up, and Ron's not impressed with him at all. And so he knows I am Ron's favorite person in the world. And so Matthew comes to me and he says, "Will you go ask Ron and tell him I need $10 really, really bad?
Will you tell Ron I need $10 really, really bad, please?"
Now Ron knows he blew it. He spent his $10 on ice cream. And right now, he'd be able to have his $10 and do what he needed to do if he wouldn't have spent his money on ice cream. I know that also. But I go to Ron and I say, "Ron, you know, I know Matthew. You love me, don't you?"
"Oh, yeah."
"Now, I know Matthew blew that money, but you know what? We need to do something for him here. Yeah. He's my friend. I've got him straightened out. I'm working on him. So, you know what? For me, will you do it for me?" Okay, he's not like God. And so, you guys can be seated. So he comes back, and he gives him the $10 because I was a go-between. I was the mediator for him. The greatest thing is God the Son goes to God the Father because he prayed to God the Father, the Bible says, and the Father gives good gifts. And so the Father gives good things. Then ask him. We pray to the Father. But Jesus is that mediator and says, you know what? He has no sin. I died for all their sin. You know what? He wants to be used. And he goes to the Father for us and mediates for us. And he sends and he makes sure everything happens. And he just sends us stuff. Who's working for us up there in heaven as a mediator between God and man. And he does those things. He does a bunch of different things and for us. And you can see verse 12. Because I go to my Father. So he's a proponent of good works for us, and he goes and asks and starts bringing things and makes sure things get sent to us. In other words, apostles and Christians, believe me, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to send the good things you need. I'm leaving. I know you're going to say, how are we going to do these things? How are we going to reach the world? How are we going to live for you? How are we going to have power over demons? How are we going to win souls? And Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to send you what you need. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm mediating for you. I'm going to the Father. I know what you need. I've been the one who's taught you all this stuff. I know exactly what you need. I'm going to send it down. I'm going to take care of what you need. Don't let your heart be troubled. I know you think I'm leaving, but I'm going to be watching out for you. And so we don't have to worry because he says, let not your heart be troubled. He's helping us to do good works. He's going to go and also to send the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So he's going to go and he's going to make sure you get the Holy Spirit so you can continue the good work, so you can do what God's will is, so you can be effective for God. You guys have nothing to worry about. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. And I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to have him send you the Holy Spirit and you can do everything you need to do. I'm going to be watching out for you guys. I'm going to the Father. I'm not just disappearing. I'm going to the Father and you're going to be just fine. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to be up in heaven now. You got friends in high places. It'll be just fine. And so he's going to go do that. Go look at chapter 16. So he goes to heaven to work for us. Chapter 16. And verse 7. And by the way, next week we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it is important that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he'll do all the work, and he'll reprove the world. You've got to have the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. It's desperate. It's important. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. So in other words, Jesus is going, and he's going to go and work for you. He's going to go do the work. He's going to be busy in heaven, and he's going to take care of things. There's so many ways you could illustrate this on earth. There's so many ways. A supervisor tells the guys, keep on working. I'm going to go get the tools you need. I'm going to go get the equipment. And they say, but if you leave, we're not going to have enough tools. We're not going to have enough equipment to get set up. He says, I'm going to send everything you need. Keep working. And I'm sending lunch too. In other words, I'm going to take care of this stuff. Relax. I'm working for you. I'm not just disappearing. Your faith is in Jesus. And just stop for a sec. You understand, in your life, Jesus, the hairs of your head are numbered. He's looking at you and saying, I know what you need. What are you so worried about? I'm up here. I'm watching out for you. I'm taking care of you. Do you know how insulting it is to him how worried we get? He says, I'm watching out for you. I'm busy up in heaven. I'm not snoring. I'm not disappearing. I am praying the Father for you. I'm mediating for you. I'm getting you what you need. I will give you everything you need. And so that's why I keep saying me. I am enough. Don't worry. Trust me. I and the Father are one. I'm going to get what you need. I'm going to send it back. You're going to be okay. Number three, he says, I'm still with you. I'm leaving, but I'm still with you. And we see this in John chapter 14. In verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. I'm departing. And understand, these words are so potent, they're so powerful, so rich, and the emotion of this chapter and the preceding chapter. And he says, I'm leaving, I'm going away, and you can't come where I'm going, but I'm going to come back to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let not your heart be troubled. But he's not going to come back to them. The Holy Spirit is going to take his place. But the Holy Spirit is him, because you have one God. Watch how he says it here. Let's go back 17 again. Even the Spirit of, verse 16, I will send the Holy Spirit that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, which a world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Right then, the Holy Spirit was with them and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit was going to indwell them after Christ. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit didn't indwell people. He came upon people, if you read your Bible. After Christ was resurrected, the Holy Spirit came into them, and they were indwelt. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. By the way, what in the world is a prophet or a good teacher saying, I'm going to be in you? He says, I'm going to dwell in you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come again to you. And so he says, I'm going to dwell in you. You will still see me, verse 19. You will know that I am there, verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You're going to know that. And I want to say this. The indwelling, which is talking about the Holy Spirit here, you can see that down at the end of verse 17. When you're indwelt, you know it. You know it. Listen, if you walk in your house and there's somebody in there, I don't know what the sense is, but you know somebody's there. As a matter of fact, sometimes you know when somebody's standing behind you. And I don't know if there's some actual sixth sense. I know some people got sixth scent, but I don't know about sixth scent sense. I don't know how we know that, but you know, you can just tell when somebody's there. Listen, when you got somebody inside of you, you know it. And can I just tell you this? And I'll show you a verse that says this. If I didn't have the Bible, I would know I was saved. Because I know somebody's living inside me. Seems the Holy Spirit. I mean, take it to 1 John. It says this in 1 John and chapter 3. 1 John 3, way at the end of the Bible. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He convicts people. They should know it because he convicts them. He speaks to them. He leads them. He moves them. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby know we that he abide in us by his Spirit which he hath given us. So it says there, we know he abides in us by his Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. So it says there, you know it because the Holy Spirit's inside of you. Listen, don't you feel the Holy... I got saved... And all of a sudden, the things I used to do, I got convicted about now. I used to not think anything of them. What is this? What is this? Feeling bad stuff. This is, I never felt bad about this before. I didn't know the Holy Spirit doctrine. I didn't know any, verse I read to you. I just know I felt guilty now. Because the Holy Spirit is inside of me. Back to John 14. You know the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And by the way, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. It's always funny. I said one somebody I was witness one time. They said there's no God, and I guarantee. I said I know him. what are you talking about? I know him, and you know God. It's and of course yes, we have the Bible, and the Bible says it. I understand that, but we got the Holy Spirit inside of us. At that day, ye shall know that I am my Father, and me and you. Not just the resurrection, but the Comforter. Who abides in you. And the Holy Spirit is huge in these next passages, the next three chapters. Holy Spirit's huge. And when you're indwelt, you know. And then he will manifest himself to them. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas gets a little confused here. Judas saith in him, not Iscariot, Lord, how in the world are you going to manifest yourself to us, not to the world? How are you going to show yourself to us? Because he just said, the world cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you see me. You see him. The world cannot see me, but you see me. And he says, Jesus, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and the world not see you? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, my Father will love him, and we, me and the Father, will come unto him and make our abode with him. I mean, we're going to park right there. We're going to the house. We're getting the recliner. We are sitting right there and just abiding in you. You are our abiding place. You're my house. Me and the Father are just going to abide in you, and you're just going to know that I'm there. And he says, I'm still with you is enough. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. So be content, he says. In other words, Jesus is still with me. I don't need to worry anymore. I can be content. I don't need to worry about what's going to happen in the world. You know what, Lord? I know you're with me. I mean, he says it's enough. I'm with you. It's fine. Don't worry. Don't be stressed. I'm with you, and I'm going to manifest myself to you. And a Christian ought to believe that, hey, God's with me. I'm okay. Do you have the answer? No. Do you know what's going to happen? No. You live by faith. But Jesus is right here with me. He's right here inside me. It's going to be just fine. You know this. He manifests himself by the deep, close, abiding presence of God in your life. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. My Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. How are you going to manifest ourselves? We're going to abide in him and manifest ourselves. God's going to be close to you. Many Christians I've talked to, and they've drifted from God and got farther away from God. And I'm getting just at the end of the sermon here, what I want to say at the end. And they'll say, you know, I'm struggling with my faith and knowing God's real. And I'll say, did you ever know God was real? No. There was this time in my life, usually when they're first a Christian, I mean, God was, I could reach out and touch him. It seemed like, I mean, he was so real. He was just showing, I mean, I had no doubts. He was just, I mean, right there. Understand, that's the way God wants to be. But that manifestation is conditional. And what happened is they got away from God, and God is not manifesting. But if he was that real and that close, he didn't disappear. He didn't cease to exist. Maybe you got farther away, and now you're not sensing him. In other words, he's still there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but he's not manifesting himself to you because you're not doing what the conditional thing here. The manifestation is for the obedient. Let's look back at some passages. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Starts with, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now watch that. Keep my commandments. Saw that? Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, there it is again, he it is that loveth me. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. Now he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. In other words, if you love me, keep my commandments, and if you keep my commandments, you're the one who must love me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Ready? Question. It's not been a week. You can't forget already. Okay? Who does he manifest himself to here? I will love him and manifest myself to him, and my Father will love him. Who is that person who got? He that keepeth my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. Those who love God, God manifests himself to them. And those who love God keep his commandments, by the way. Try again. Verse 22, how are you going to do that? How are you going to manifest yourself to us? Verse 23, Jesus saith in the name of a man, love me, he will keep my words. There it is again. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, you might, I don't know if you notice, there's an interesting phrase there. Are you ready? This is the book of John. Book of John. You familiar with the book of John? What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Does God love everybody? It's the same book of the Bible, okay? But look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Huh. It's interesting. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Did you catch that? Does God love everybody? The Bible says that. Okay, you ready? You love all your nieces and nephews? Is there one you really love? No. You love all the kids at church? But is there certain kids at church you just love? You know what I'm talking about? You might love both your parents, but one of your parents might be a terrible parent and you're not close to them. You love them, yeah, but you love your mom. The guy who wrote this book, by the way, called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Did he love all the disciples? But those Christians who obey and those Christians who love the Lord, God just says, I love that guy. I just love her. By the way, who gets the best Christmas presents? I mean, God says, I really, really love some Christians. I love them, but they're a pain. I love them, but they frustrate me. I love people that frustrate me. You have anybody you love that frustrates you? Point at it. No, don't do that. And so we have people we love but frustrate us, but there's certain people we actually love that guy. I just love her. She's my favorite. I love him. And even parents sometimes have a kid. Individual parent will have one kid. They love all their kids a whole bunch, but one kid snuggles with them. One kid spoils them. One kid writes a note. You hear that, kids? And they really buy good Christmas presents for that one. And so they really love. And God says, you know what? If you really love me and keep my commandments, I just tell you, you're not going to miss me at all. Because I'm going to make my abode right inside of you. And I'm going to manifest myself to you. And you're going to say, Jesus is just as much here as he was and he's walking next to me. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus being around is all that we need. The manifestation of God is for the obedient Christians who love the Lord. Fall in love with Jesus the whole bunch. You won't have any doubts that he's with you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the words of the God here. Thank you for Jesus teaching us these things. I love all the different pronouns and the Holy Spirit, my Father and me, and we're one, and we will make our abode, and I will come to you in the Holy Spirit, and the way that you show the Trinity here is wonderful. Lord, we have a ton of things that worry us. We have a ton of things. We just want you to manifest yourself, but we've got to trust you. We've got to make sure that we are loving you. And some of us have been close to you before, but now we feel a little distant. Help us to realize that if we love you and keep your commandments, you will manifest yourself to us. Thank you for the words. Thank you for all that it teaches here, Lord. Thank you for what it says. Thank you for all of this. Thank you, Jesus, going to work for us. And we can just rest and let not our hearts be troubled. Please, Lord, help us to live the right way so we can know that you're close to us and live as good, obedient Christians. Pray this in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.